difficult for non-devotees to understand. Because the Lord has inconceivable energies. Pradasha Shakti Vivideva Sriyate Sabhavaki Gyana Balakriya Cha. He has so many different energies, one of which is Achinta Shakti. His inconceivable potency to do what is beyond logic and reason. The very form of Lord Nrisingadev defies logic and reason. Where do we see any example of a person who is half a lion and half a man? There's no such example anywhere. Neither was there anyone who could kill a demon like Hiranyakasipu, who had been promised to be able to be free from all varieties of death, and yet still he was killed. Lord Nrisingadev can reconcile all of what appeared to be an impossible situation, to be able to kill a demon, not by human, not by animal, not in the water, not in the air, not on the land, not in the day, not in the night. So many different possible conditions were put, impossible conditions, in which he, the demon Hiranyakasipu, hoped that he could become Amara, deathless. But because the Lord has inconceivable potencies, he could adjust himself in such a way as to destroy this demon. Therefore, the point which is being made here is, by Srila Prabhupada, the main point in this purport, that if Hiranyakasipu could establish what seemed to be an infallible method of guaranteeing his own nefarious behaviors and protecting himself, and still he was checked by the Lord, then what to speak of the puny, insignificant, little demons of today, who are not worth, you know, who are not worth, what, the most insignificant glance of Hiranyakasipu. They don't in any way have even slight power compared to Hiranyakasipu. All of their atom bombs and etc. put together cannot do what Hiranyakasipu could do. And still, with just his nails, Lord Nrisingadev could have bifurcate the abdomen and rip out the guts of Hiranyakasipu and kill him. So devotees should not be afraid. No matter how powerful the demons may appear to be, devotees should not fear, because the devotees are guaranteed protection. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, "You can declare it boldly, my devotee shall never be vanquished." If it sometimes seems that a devotee is being put into difficulty, it is always due to the arrangement of the Lord. Why does the Lord put his devotee in difficulty? Because then the devotee's glories are magnified more. This morning I got a telephone call from Navina Niradana Prabhu. He was in Helsinki. And he said, the devotees in Zurich don't know how good they have it. He said, if they want to see what it's difficult time it is to distribute books, they can come up here to Helsinki. He said, the people have, it's so much more difficult. He said, I have to struggle so hard just to get my quota of books distributed. But the devotee likes this challenge. The devotee does not run away from a difficult circumstance, because the devotee thinks, now I can depend more upon my spiritual master. I can remember more all that he has taught me. I can draw inspiration from his own example. And actually, we see that Krishna will put good devotees through more difficult tests than the ordinary persons. It is not that the good devotees are spared from being tried by Krishna. No. Because Krishna wants to show the power of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is transcendental. And it cannot be checked. Ahoituki apratihata. It cannot be checked by any material circumstance. So who else except a pure devotee can prove this? Because an ordinary devotee is weak in their faith. They can be stopped very easily. And therefore, pure devotional service cannot be showcased by an ordinary person. A kanista bhakta cannot do so. An uttama bhakta or a madhyam bhakta, they can show the glories of pure devotional service. Why? Because their faith is unshakable. They have nishta, very firm, steady faith. Prabhupada said that this is the real qualification of one who wants to be a Brahmin. That their faith and service should be so steady that under any circumstances it cannot be checked. And certainly Krishna will arrange the material energy in such a way to check and test whether you have such steady faith. Why? Because at the time of death, when all the difficult circumstances befall the body, you cannot breathe properly, you cannot eat anything, you cannot even sip water. It's like I told you about that Mataji in Vrindavan. She cannot even drink water because her cancer is in the throat. And the hole left by the cancer is so small that no water can even go in practically. And whenever she drinks water, it burns like fire. So she has to suck ice cubes. And in that way keep alive. And the only reason she's doing this is not to stay alive, but because the doctor said if she becomes dehydrated, she'll become unconscious. And if she becomes unconscious, she's afraid, then I won't be able to hear the holy name of Krishna. So, with such difficult circumstances as death, if we are not already prepared and made very strong in our Krishna consciousness, how will we face these difficulties? Now it is very easy. What we think is difficult is easy compared to the moment of death. If we're lucky enough to be able to have notice, and not that we die by some sudden circumstance. We're very fortunate when one can get notice that you have now been given warning you're going to die, and you can prepare yourself. But don't think that death is easy. Death is not easy. It is a very unusual case when death is easy. Otherwise, normally it is difficult. So just to prepare us for this, Krishna is strengthening our devotion. So, pure devotees, examples are there for us to see and to follow. And that we, for this reason, we have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to read Prabhupada Lilamrita. We have to read the glories, wherever we find them, of the great personalities. To take heart for ourselves, to get strength, to increase our own determination and faith. The case of Jai and Vijay coming in the material world is not due to the fact that they did something on their own wrong, because it is explained in the commentary that they did harass the Kumaras, but all of this was ultimately the arrangement of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord wanted to exhibit his mood of fighting. He wanted to enjoy some fighting experience. So who is it who can interact with the Lord except his devotees? And so he sent two very dear devotees, Jai and Vijay, into this world. However, there's another lesson in this, that how careful we have to be about Vaishnava aparad. This Vaishnava aparad will uproot all that we have done in our spiritual life. It is called the elephant offense. In a garden, when you are growing something, you have to make arrangement to protect the plants. But what kind of protection can you make if a gigantic elephant busts into the garden and starts stampeding? What will you do? If you've put some, what do you think you'll put? Just like people put a scarecrow? What is that word? Some scarecrow to scare off birds. Do you think that that will scare away a mad elephant? No. Or if there are weeds in the ground, people put some weed killer. Do you think an elephant could care about weed killer? What are you going to do with a mad elephant? Little fence? Nothing will stop a mad elephant. So somehow, if we become envious, or if we are envious, and we allow that envy to go unchecked, then that envy may repose itself on another devotee. And if that happens and we commit offenses against the devotee, those offenses can uproot our spiritual creeper. So because we live within the community of devotees, we have to be so careful. We have to be very, very careful. What is the best way to be careful? To realize one's own humble position. If we always think of ourselves as insignificant, just like here it says, Sri Kim Purusha Uchu, Kim Purusha Prabhupada says, the inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka, or insignificant living entities. If we think of ourselves as they are saying, O Lord, we insignificant living entities are praying to you. If we think of ourselves as very humble, like a blade of grass, Lord Chaitanya prays, then it's going to be much easier to avoid Vaishnava Aparad. Amanena manadena kirtaniya sadahadi. Give respect to others, praise others, but not to expect any honor for ourselves. Who wants to be honored? Those who think that they are very great. Just like Haranyakasipu thought that he is so great. He had everyone honoring, as we will hear in the next verses. He took the position practically which was reserved for Vishnu. He was so much puffed up. In the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the words of the demoniac are there. So much do I possess. So many people are honoring me. I have destroyed my enemies, and I will conquer and gain more and more and more. The demoniac want to hear their glories. And if people don't glorify them, then they want to kill such people. Because the devotees of Krishna consciousness are so truthful that we are telling people, frankly, you're going to go into the hellish conditions for your sinful behavior, therefore people become very angry. They become very angry. Therefore, sometimes we meet with check or problems when we go out on Sankirtan. And it has been going on for a long time. When Nityananda Prabhu went with Srila Haridas Thakur, Jagai and Madai hurled so much abuse at them. We had the same experience. Everywhere I've ever gone and done Sankirtan, I have never seen it to be different. There are always demons. There are always materialistic, demoniac people trying to check the Sankirtan movement. And we have to be tolerant. The example is given of the tree. The tree tolerates so many things. Picking of flowers, cutting of branches, and ultimately all the type of weather conditions, and finally someone may even chop the tree down, and the tree does not protest. So for our own sake, we can tolerate many, many difficulties. And especially when we live amongst devotees, we may have to do so. It's not easy to live in a society of devotees. Probably if we had our own choice due to our past karma, we would not select all of the devotees who we now live with to be our close associates. But because we are no longer identifying with this body, with this mind, with the past karma which gave us a particular set of parents, we have given up all of those identities, and now we are identified, I am the servant of my spiritual master. I am the son or daughter of my spiritual master. I am the grandson or granddaughter of Srila Prabhupada. These are my family forefathers, the disciplic succession. I am pure spirit soul, eternally the servant of Krishna. And therefore, this is my family. All the Vaishnavas of ISKCON, they are most dear to me. We pray, Vanja Kalpa Taru Bhaisya. The Taru, Kripa Taru. What is that? Vanja Kalpa Taru Bhaisya. This Kalpa Taru. What does it mean? It is a desire tree. The devotees are a desire tree. They can fulfill all of one's desires. But sometimes we see people have the wrong idea of which desires to approach for. Oh, ISKCON has not given me a proper house to live. ISKCON has not given me enough material facilities. ISKCON has not given me the proper husband or proper wife. People have so many things they say. They're complaints. It's like it's like when you go shopping and then you don't like what you bought and you go to a complaint department. I want to return what I bought and get my money back. Devotional life is not like that. You know? In India, you can't do that. In India, and in Hong Kong also, if you buy something, that's it. They don't have a return policy. In Switzerland, you can return what you buy? Yeah. Sometimes devotees are so clever, they buy it, use it, and then return it. And get their money back. But in certain places where the demons are very intelligent, they don't allow for such foolish things. And so you can't return. You buy it, and that's it. So spiritual life is like that. There's a no refund policy. You can't come back and say, you know, I didn't get paid what I expected. When you take initiation, at the time of initiation, I don't remember anybody being, you know, you say, the spiritualist says, what are the four principles I promised to, you know, no meat, fish, eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and chant 16 rounds. I never heard a spiritual man say, and I promise to get you a good husband, a good wife, a nice house, you know, three cars, or this or that. So where is the contract where you said you were supposed to get these things? Because what Krishna is giving cannot be compared with anything, cannot be evaluated. What you're actually meant to get in spiritual life is so great and wonderful that there's nothing to compare with it. Why do you think that the six Goswamis are standing there in the picture with just a little piece of cloth wrapped around their body? These persons had everything. Very, very aristocratic families, big positions in society, and now look at them, standing there, no shoes on their feet, just a little wrap around their body. Why? Because they got so much that they don't care for these things. What they are getting from Krishna, they don't care, they don't think on the bodily platform. So actually, Krishna is trying to give us, but we are so foolish that we accept so many other things. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gop Kumar finds that as he moves along on the path back to Godhead, so many things are offered. Positions in heavenly planets are offered him. You can become an Indra. You can even become a Brahma. What to speak when you go through the different coverings of the universe and you're tempted with everything, yoga cities, mystic powers, and finally the ultimate temptation, become one with God. And you have to be so intelligent that you just say, no, thank you. No, I don't want these things. Then what do you want? I want to be the servant of the Lord. But Gopal Kumar even says, when he gets to Vaikuntha, I don't even want this Vaikuntha opulence. Everyone in Vaikuntha is very satisfied. God is so great, just like here we see. These are Kim Purushas. They're offering in the mood of the Vaikuntha Vasis. Great God. You are so great, and we are so small. Now we have to think like this. You are so great, and we are so small. This is a very good prayer. We have said already, this is the right mood to be in. Very, very humble. But just see the position that Gop Kumar wants. What is his position? Oh, Krishna, we will wrestle today, and because you are young, you see, and you have not eaten properly this morning, I will be able to defeat you. And Mother Yasoda's, you know, waving her stick at Lord Damodar and saying that you're very naughty. So in the Krishna Loka, Vrindavan, Goloka, Vrindavan, they don't even want to see the Lord in this mood. No, thank you, they say. I don't want to worship the Lord of Vaikuntha. I want to worship Sri Rajendra Nandana, Nanda Nandana, Yasoda Nandana, this Vrindavan Krishna. And how? Not even directly. I want to worship the devotee of Krishna. I want to worship a pure devotee. In our line of spiritual masters, they're all pure devotees of Krishna. And so the devotee thinks, I don't want to directly associate with Krishna. I want to simply assist my spiritual master in his eternal service to Krishna. So selfless position. We have to come to such a selfless point of service where we just desire to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. In this mood, there will be no disturbances. When it says here that the Lord comes to show his mercy to the devotees, how does he show his mercy to the devotees? On one sense, in one level, we can say by giving gross physical protection, as Nrisimhadev has done. But this is only one type of mercy upon the devotees, protection. Krishna doesn't have to come just to do that, because so many incarnations and even empowered personalities can protect, like Arjuna. Arjuna could protect the whole world. The Pandavas were capable of protecting anyone and everyone in their kingdom. No one was put in any difficulty during the time of Yudhisthira Maharaj's reign. So, Krishna is not directly required for giving protection. A powerful personality like Prithu Maharaj could protect everyone. All the kings in Vedic times could do this. So, protection is only... gross physical protection is only one type of protection. But what is the other type of protection? The protection from a broken heart. Why does Krishna come? To save his devotees from heartbreak. Because they want to be with him so much that he can only satisfy them by personally coming. Now, you know, Krishna is the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. But actually, that's not so. Because Devaki and Vasudeva, they wanted a son who was just like God. And so Krishna said, there's no one else but me, I'll come myself. And so he came as Vasudeva Krishna. Into their prison. First with four arms. Then he transformed himself into that little baby boy. But for Yasoda and Nanda, there was no question of such a prayer. They understood only one thing. I only want Krishna. They didn't want someone who's like God. They didn't even care, I want God. They only want Krishna, whoever he may be. After Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill for so many days and so many nights, all of the residents of Vrindavan told Nanda Maharaj, I think that you better be much more careful now. You are dealing very strongly with your son as if he's an ordinary boy. No, but he must be some very great demigod, and he may even be an incarnation of Lord Narayan. So don't do this, because who else can lift a hill for 7 days and seven nights? Nanda Baba just laughed. Nanda Maharaj laughed and said, you know, he didn't do that. We were all doing it ourselves with the sticks. We were holding up the hill. And his mother was saying, and my prayers have held up the hill. I prayed to Lord Narayan. They just laughed. Nanda and Yasoda laughed. They said, he's a very naughty boy. Very naughty boy. He's not even an ordinary, good, well-behaved boy. He does so many things all the time. Steals butter, pinches the small babies in their neighbor's homes. Even goes in, if he doesn't get what he asks for, he passes urine in people's homes. So how can you say, he's not even like a yogi, he's not even like an ordinary child. So this is how they saw Krishna. This is how they saw Krishna. And it is this mercy actually which Krishna comes to bestow. This vision which Krishna comes to bestow. And this is the purpose for which Krishna comes. Not simply to fight with demons. Fighting with demons can be done by every other incarnation. But to please his pure devotees who want only him, he alone can do that. And talking about protection and mercy, no one, therefore, can give even more mercy than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because what Krishna could not give, Lord Chaitanya came to give. If Krishna gave everything, especially his wonderful, astonishing pastimes, Lord Chaitanya gave it even more, because he gave the possibility of being able to achieve Krishna consciousness. After Krishna's coming, saying, surrender unto me, it was very difficult for people to find a way how to surrender unto Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself giving the method how to surrender. And even more, giving the highest degree of loving devotion. Not ordinary type of loving devotion. Most astonishing, Ujjwala Ras, best of all loving devotion, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. And Srila Prabhupada, as the perfect and true follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has opened up for the whole world the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada has given the whole world a chance now to join in the movement of Lord Chaitanya. That's such an amazing thing, how Lord Chaitanya made Lord Chaitanya's mercy available to the world. Who has prepared the whole world to receive Lord Chaitanya's mercy except for Srila Prabhupada? And we're getting the chance to assist Prabhupada. That is our fortune. Yesterday we were reading from Shikshastakam, the lotus, the white lotus of good fortune. That white lotus of good fortune is this movement of ISKCON, which is allowing very ordinary persons like ourselves to suddenly be able to take part in helping Prabhupada in his mission. One time a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said something, and Prabhupada said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was capable of delivering the whole universe. He said, but he wanted to leave something for us to do. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada has left something for all of us to do. He has given us some opportunity to render some assistance to him. Because by serving and assisting Srila Prabhupada in this mission, how dear we will become to Lord Chaitanya. We can expect some special grace and mercy from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhu Nityananda. So, this is the real purpose for which Krishna and then Lord Chaitanya come. To bestow the mercy of loving devotion as the residents of Vrindavan have for them. This will all be possible for us because of our absorption in the Sankirtan movement. Now, Lord Nisringadev's marathon is coming up. This is a very special opportunity to meditate on protection from the Lord and his devotees. And in that mood, we should remember that we pray to Lord Nisringadev especially to protect our bhakti. That is why in Mayapur, when you darshan the deities, first you pray to Lord Nisringadev, then to Radha Madhav. Why do we pray to Lord Nisringadev? We see that Lord Nisringadev's lotus feet are kept on the two tumalai of Ganesh. Ganesh, the elephant-headed son of Lord Shiva, keeps Lord Nisringadev's lotus feet upon his tumalai. And in the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma has described this, bhakti vigna vinasha. Bhakti vigna vinasha. The obstacles of bhakti are removed by Lord Nisringadev. This is the real protection he gives. Because so far as physical dangers are concerned, the worst that it can do is kill you once. Bhakti vigna, the obstacles on devotion, however, can cripple you for so many lifetimes. Like I said, one being elephant offenses against the Vaishnavas. Who can say how many births we may have to take in a hellish condition if we offend Vaishnavas. And so many other dangers are there. So we pray to Lord Nisringadev, please protect my bhakti. Please protect my loving feelings for my spiritual master and always preserve them. Please keep me eternally engaged in the service of my guru. Let me always have the mission of ISKCON as my life and soul. Please allow me to have a pure devotion to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gaura Nitaya. Please always keep me as the servant of Lord Jagannath. Please allow me to one day become qualified to enter into the loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, Radha Madan Mohan. In this way, we are praying like this. And who will make it possible? Bhakti Vinasha, Nrisimha Dev. So Sankirtan Marathon, now for Lord Nrisimhadev, we are offering this marathon. The results of our book distribution, our prashanam distribution, for the pleasure of Sri Sri Prahlad Nrisimhadev. And if there's any boon we request from them, please protect my devotion. That is not a selfish prayer. To pray, we can pray like this. Please protect my pure devotion. Please make all the obstacles on the path of my serving my spiritual master cleared away. That is not a selfish thing, because we're praying to be selflessly engaged in the service of our guru. That's the prayer we're asking. That now, because of so many anarthas, bad habits from the past, I cannot properly engage in the service of my spiritual master. So, my dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I am now going to engage in this marathon, so that somehow, if you become pleased with whatever small activities I have performed, please remove all the obstacles so that I can really serve my spiritual master with love and devotion. So now, let us prepare ourselves. By Monday, I think you begin the marathon. So it should be more and more glorious marathons year after year to prove that devotional service is unlimited, devotees are unlimited, Sankirtan is unlimited. There's no limitation. The only limitation is in our desire. Otherwise, it's an unlimited scope for spreading Krishna consciousness. So we'll stop here. Ask if there are any questions. This evening, His Holiness Satchinanda Swami Maharaj will come. So we will get his association. Maybe together we will give a class in the evening. He will entertain us with his spontaneous, blissful behavior, always full of surprises. You can never predict what he will say or do, isn't it? So, any questions? Say it again.
What is this for a mentality from members of this movement when they become ungrateful or start to demanding? Will explain.
What is the...
Demoniac or...
It is demoniac. It is demoniac when persons start to demand things. It is demoniac. Because what is the definition of a demon? A demon is one who thinks himself God. So whether we think ourselves a big God or a small God, a God means I demand that I want to be served. And I want God, the real God, to supply me whatever I need. So ISKCON is the representation of God. It is the movement of God. And when you start demanding from ISKCON so many things, it's demonic. It's like saying to God, you become my servant now. The devotee doesn't want this. I was seeing in the Vrindavan newsletter, there's that old lady, maybe you saw that recently in one newsletter, old lady there, very bent up. You should see her when you go to Vrindavan temple. Maybe you've seen her. Very, very bent up old lady. She has nothing but rags on her body, you know. And she's satisfied just being there and chanting Hare Krishna. She never makes any demand of anyone. What did the six Goswamis demand? They didn't demand anything. They're so selfless. If you don't demand anything material, then Krishna will give you everything spiritual. And the degree to which you make material demands is the degree to which Krishna doesn't have to supply you spiritually. Therefore, we're still a long way, because we need so many things. We need good clothes. We need good place to sleep. We need good food to eat. So many desires we have, we can't count them all. So where, what is pure devotion, and how far away are we? Therefore, we have to pray to Lord Nisringadev, help me, please. You know, in Lord Nisringadev, Lord Chaitanya is sometimes described to be just like a lion. And the prayer is given that I pray that the lion-like Lord Chaitanya should enter into my heart and rip apart all of the elephantine offenses which are lying there. So we're very fortunate to worship Sri Sri Gaurinitai. I think these Gaurinitai deities are most merciful and most powerful of all Gaurinitai deities of the whole world. Because we can see how they have empowered the Sankirtan devotees here. I think they are the basis of all the Sankirtan devotion worldwide coming from here. Therefore, I always come on pilgrimage to see their lotus. And you can see how big their lotus feet are. I was thinking this morning that they have manifested especially large lotus feet to give more mercy to the devotees.
Srila Prabhupada wanted to build a house where the whole world can live. It should not be just a place for Paramahansas like the Six Goswamis. They don't need anything. But what about people like me that have many material desires, the very, very conditioned souls? So if we call them that they are demoniac, put people off that actually can be integrated somehow, even if they are very low class.
First of all, Srimad Bhagavatam class is for the pure devotees. This class and this temple is for pure devotees. So what we speak here, we may not say in the same way to other people. In other words, if we speak in the Srimad Bhagavatam class anything different than this, then everybody will increase their material desires more and more. So we should see how Prabhupada's lectures are. You see, you listen to Prabhupada's lectures, he'll say, if you even have one material desire left in your heart, you have to take birth again. So he's very uncompromising in his preaching. Why? Because he's preaching to the devotees of the Sankirtan movement who have surrendered and dedicated their lives to spreading Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, when Prabhupada, giving a lecture in another way, he may say, even a drunkard, when drinking in the bar, if he says that, raso hamap sokonteya, I am the taste of liquids, and he can remember Krishna, and he can become purified. So, certainly there is a way to speak in such a way that we can encourage everyone. But here we must lecture in such a strict way. Just like in a house or in a building, there are many floors. So if Prabhupada built a house in which the whole world can live, but everyone may not live on the same floor. Right? So, just like you see in the Sri Rangam temple, the Brahmins, then the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas and the Shudras, and they all live in houses going further and further away according to their particular spiritual level of understanding. Similarly, the house in which Prabhupada lives is a very big house, but it's not as if this is like the sanctum sanctorum of the house. This is like the altar, the temple. We don't let anyone live in the temple. Unless someone is prepared to follow the four principles and chant 16 rounds, we can't invite them to live in the temple. We may invite them to visit. So, in that sense, we have to recognize that certainly ISKCON is a house which can accommodate everyone, but not necessarily on the same floor or in the same room. And if we try to do it, then it will be very problematic. The higher floors have the better view. So if we want to have the proper view of Goloka Vrindavan, then we gotta go all the way up. And the way to go up very quickly is on the Sankirtan Express. Express means it doesn't stop along the way. Right? It's just like the Taj Express. They have a, doesn't stop anywhere. Actually, Taj Express stops in in Mathura. It's the only place it stops on the way from Delhi to Agra is in Mathura. But so many different express trains, and they don't stop along the way. So we want to get on the Sankirtan Express non-stop. Goloka Vrindavan. One way only. No return ticket. No refund. You don't look very satisfied. Yeah, when we speak to other people, that's a whole other thing. We can accommodate any level of devotion, even the most slight. Prabhupada saw the drunk bringing toilet paper, and he said, very good. You know, I mean, otherwise, what is Sankirtan? Devotee goes on Sankirtan, isn't he being liberal? You know, any donation at all a person gives, in that letter that Rohini Sutta Prabhu has in his room, he got a letter from Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, any little donation they give, I think I read it there or somewhere. Maybe I read it in the room, Prabhupada's room. I think that's where I read it. Yeah, it was on one of those little triangular plaques. Any little donation they give, they get some benefit. So the devotees are going out. Now we're distributing, we're pushing prasadam distribution. And it means we're giving an invitation to come in the house of ISKCON. I think that as soon as people start taking prasadam, it changes their life. Their consciousness becomes cleared. So many offenses. The effects of Krishna prasadam are very, very much glorified. So many nice stories are there. How, you know, a Brahmin was chanting his mantras, and a Rakshasa came, a man-eater came and ate the Brahmin, and they both got delivered. I mean, you can say the whole body of the Brahmin was prasad. Of course, the credit is given to the holy name in that one. But the point is that somehow or other, another example: there was someone ate prasad. Who was somebody ate prasad? Then the person ate prasadam. The tiger ate the person, and then they, you know, somehow they both went back to Godhead. The prasadam can liberate and deliver a person. So it prepares a person's consciousness, then they will become so much more favorable. And in a favorable mood, when they give a donation in the future for books, oh, they make so much advancement. But we should know what the final goal is. Final goal is Krishna Prema. Therefore, we should learn what is Krishna Prema. And the place to learn is Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in this book, leading up to the 10th canto of all the pastimes of Krishna, which shows the Vrindavan devotees' love for Krishna, everything becomes cleared. Study carefully these books. Study Srimad Bhagavatam, study Chaitanya Chaitamrita, study the Nectar of Devotion, and of course, first of all, understand Bhagavad Gita, get the keys to basic understanding of spiritual life through Bhagavad Gita study, then read all of these other books, put the whole thing together clearly with the help of senior devotees and learn what is the meaning of Krishna Prema. Because that's the goal. Prema Pumartha Mahan, that is the goal. To develop pure love for Radha and Krishna. Other questions?
Strive for this highest goal. Or can you at one point slow down or compromise, or what will happen? You will get in trouble when you slow down.
Once you're initiated by a guru, do you always have to try for this highest goal, or can you slow down for a while and take it easy? What will happen? Well, we already see what has happened to people who have done that. This is a war with Maya. Kali, the personality of this age, has arranged very powerful, formidable forces of Maya. Maya Devi is Kali's queen. And so together they're harassing everyone. So as soon as you drop your defenses, you leave yourself open to Maya's attack. Just like in a battle, if there's a war going on, do you think for a single moment that a person will drop their guard? Just like in Serbia. If for one moment these soldiers, or anyone in that country who's under attack, becomes a little negligent, what happens? They can lose their life immediately. That means that you have to realize this is going to be 24 hours, 365 days a year, days of the year for the rest of your life. That's what you have agreed to. That's the agreement you made at the time of initiation. That's why it's very rare that anyone becomes a devotee. Because how many people are willing to sign such a contract? No karmis do it. Karmis will agree to a job, but they still want 2 weeks vacation a year. They still want 1 or 2 days a week vacation. And they only want to work 8 hours a day. Maybe 10 or 12, but not more. Nobody would ever do this except a devotee. But this is what you have to do to go back to Godhead. And if you want to do a little less, you can still go back to Godhead, but it may take more time. And there's a danger. Still, Krishna promises that a little bit of advancement along this path will protect you. So I have seen just recently, I had an experience. We had a godbrother, Sudama Das. He was a sannyasi, actually. Black devotee, short devotee, was a great actor, dancer, and very nice preacher. And he was Prabhupada's personal servant. But shortly after Prabhupada's leaving this world, Sudama left the movement. And for 17 years he left. And actually, apparently he fell down very, very badly. And he even contacted this disease AIDS. And he did so many terrible things. So, when he was informed that he had only a short time to live because of this AIDS, he suddenly called the devotees. You know, he was in the midst of complete Maya. And he told me, I eventually went to see him, he said, I can't even tell you the Maya I was in. It is so horrible. But when I got this, it was a wake-up call, he said. And I immediately dropped what I was doing, left the association, divorced my wife, you know, and just went back with the devotees. So then he phoned me up, and I went to see him. And he only had about 2 more months to live, because he and I were very close friends when he was a member of the society. And I hadn't seen him in 17 years. But by that time, he had started chanting again, was living with the devotees. Within 2 months after I went to see him, he gave me a call the day before he left his body. The nurse said he can't talk now. He was living, by then he had moved to the Los Angeles temple. And she said he can't talk, but he just wants to hear your voice. Speak to him. So, you know, tears were coming from his eyes while I was talking to him, and he asked me, when I went to see him the first time, he said, what is my destination? He actually wanted to ask me a question, but he didn't. It was amazing. There were many old devotees who heard that I was coming there to see him. So suddenly, all these old devotees I hadn't seen in so many years came. And then Brahmananda was there because he had arranged the meeting. So Brahmananda said, I think Sudama wants to speak to you alone. So we went in the next room. And one thing he said, He said, I want to just ask you tomorrow, where am I going? What's going to happen to me? Because I did all these horrible things. He said, I don't trust anyone else's answer. Just tell me the truth. So I told him that now, because you have come back to Krishna consciousness and you have taken shelter of the devotees, it's all insignificant. It's all completely forgotten. Krishna promises that a little bit of advancement will protect you at the most dangerous time. I said, so it's all, whatever happened is gone now. But one thing about this person, he never became envious against the devotees. He never became critical of the devotees. He just didn't want to have anything to do with them anymore. And he wanted to enjoy. But he had no ill feelings in his heart. And all of it was dried up. All the material things he had done, forgotten. Krishna can forget them. By the time he left his body, there was a huge kirtan going on in his room. The devotees were having big kirtan. All the deities' garlands were on him. They put Chanamrita in his tongue, Tulsi next to him on the bed in his hand. And they were having a huge kirtan. And he was completely in consciousness and gave up his body. And here is a person who had contacted AIDS, done horrible things, just sit. Some service done for Prabhupada and the ISKCON movement, and delivered him. So, we're very fortunate. We should beg again and again, you know, to always be there another year. Whenever I go to Mayapur, one of the prayers I always say, please make sure I'm here again next year. Always pray. Prabhupada was asked this question. Prabhupada one day said from the Vyasa-san that I will never fall down. I can never fall. And then the next day he said that I'm always praying that I won't fall down. So the devotee said, did you contradicted yourself? He said, no, because I always pray that I won't fall down. Therefore, he said, Maya will never get me, Prabhupada said. He said, or something, I won't fall down. And then he said the next day that I'm always praying that Maya cannot get me. And he said, what? He said, because I'm always praying like this, therefore I will not fall down. So it's not that a pure devotee doesn't pray like this. It's not that a pure devotee is not afraid of Maya. Pure devotee is afraid of Maya. When you stop being afraid of Maya, that's a very dangerous position. Because a pure devotee, when they come in this world, they act as sadhakas. Even Uttam Bhagavat acts as a Madhyam Bhagavat. And therefore, he acts as a sadhaka. Lord Chaitanya is acting as a sadhaka. These prayers of Lord Chaitanya that he's offered, these 8 Shikshasakam prayers, some of them are on the platform of sadhana bhakti. He himself is behaving like a devotee to teach us. And as a devotee, he fears Maya. There's nothing contradictory about this. Another question? Today is Ekadasi, so be careful. Don't eat any grains. Try to chant some extra rounds if you can. And certainly take opportunity, be more Krishna conscious, especially on this day. Hi. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.